This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Together until the 12th
of never, our voices will ring. Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Gatesworth, one of our great sponsors, the finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, please give the Gatesworth a chance. I was there on Saturday, had a great meal with the ladies. There's no place like the Gatesworth. It's like living on a cruise ship. After you have your lunch, you go watch a movie. It was Dead Poets Society in the big movie theater. They take a nap. They come back for happy hour, dinner. It's the place to be, the Gatesworth.
Maybe they could play Winter's Bone for all the folks over there.
Oh, God.
The cinematic greatness.
That's right.
I've been so bored the last couple days. I see Winter's Bone.
Come on.
I added it to my list. I've done that much, but I have yet to watch Winter's
Bone. I'm anxious because you and I are similar when it comes to taste on the movies and stuff.
I'll watch it.
Because I was not a fan. We'll see how you feel.
I'm not a fan of the cover of the movie on Netflix, but I'll give it a chance. I'll let you know, Martin.
All right. Will you give me an honest appraisal? If you like
Winter's
Bone? Yes.
Of course.
I'll be honest.
I'm trying to get them to play it at the Gatesworth for the citizens there.
That's not appropriate.
No. He said they're watching Dead Poets Society. That's like 30 years old.
Oh, that's a depressing movie, too.
But I will give an honest assessment when I do watch the movie.
All right, I will buy your lunch if you didn't like it. Now, you have to be honest, because I have a feeling now he'll say why I didn't like it.
He hates
no matter
it
what.
Already.
All right, Citizen Kane's, I'll take a
guaranteed
16-ounce.
Yeah, I'll see what kind of gift card we get.
It'd be like the strict payment.
You're going to get McDonald's cookies for lunch one day.
Now, Frank spent time with his mom at the Gatesworth. I was with my mom on Saturday. And we were getting a bite to eat, and we're sitting at Circle 7, and they
good
have the
place. Had that last night.
And they have the
which
Mark,
one?
Mark DePere.
DePere, okay. Oh,
number
wow.
two. I guess that's
yeah,
number
that's
two.
Yeah, that's second location. I haven't been to that
night.
One yet.
It's fantastic.
First of all, we walk in, they have like 1,000 games on, which is great. But Marquette was playing on Fox 2, so easy to find. I said, can we get the Marquette-Georgetown game? They put it on right in front of us.
Why'd you do that?
They played terribly.
Yep.
Still could have won. Could have won the Big East. Still
could have won last
tanked.
Games.
They've totally tanked.
Yep.
But as they're playing poorly late in the game, I'm very frustrated, but I'm still hanging in there and hopeful. Because even if you play a crap, you could still win the game. And like a minute to go, my mom says, well, they deserve to lose. I said, there's no such thing
good
as
for your mom.
I said, they don't deserve to lose.
No, I agree.
And she said, well, they're just not making good decisions. And she's right. But I'm like, I don't care. I still want them to win. If it's a buzzer-beating heave that bounces in off the roof, I don't care.
Give your mom Wojo's number. Have her text him
they
thoughts.
Deserve to lose. Do you believe that as a fan? If you're watching your kids' games and they play terribly, you
no.
don't say, well, they deserve
well, to lose. Well, there's a difference between saying that about your children and about, you know, professional athletes. I've thought about that with the Cardinals before.
These are kids.
If they commit
athletes.
Like three or four.
But you still don't want to say that.
I've said
your
it
mom's
before.
Candy,
yeah.
Though.
No, and it was not a big...
I said it Saturday. They didn't deserve to win that game.
They did not deserve to win. It's very disappointing.
While you were eating there, I was at Lester's having the lemon pepper garlic wings. Boy, that is some serious stuff.
When you walk in, do they just put the order for wings in? Do they know?
A monthly tab.
You know how many people they served yesterday? Like 650 people on a Sunday. No
wow.
special day or anything like
no
that.
No major sporting event? I mean, there's some college basketball, but not like a big...
They just unbelievable.
Shot at the
event.
Valley.
Pedro's the guy.
Love the
owner.
Valley.
He's good.
By the way, Charlie was driving to Blues practice earlier. He said, as a listener, I'm requesting more Bradley talk, please.
Ah, Bradley, that school in Peoria. Yep.
I love
there.
Peoria.
I mean, let's face it. It's a great tournament, everything. But in terms of like a sexy final, and that would like been the least one. I wanted either SIU or Loyola. I mean, I think a lot of people wanted Loyola because they have that appeal from last year. That was just a tough one, even though it turned out to be a great final. How about you?
Well, you know, because Chuck's my guy, I was happy for him that Bradley made it. And he said, well, I texted him on Saturday. I said, you got to go to the Sunday game. He's like, you think? So he went down to watch, and then I'm watching the score, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're getting drilled. I didn't tune in until right around halftime. I thought, ah, this sucks. You go down there, you're finally thinking it's going to happen. But I think it's better when your team looks terrible or you think it's over. Don't you have to think it's over
oh,
as
yeah.
a fan
absolutely.
When you're down 18?
Yeah.
You don't leave, but you start thinking, well, I guess we made it this far.
No, then you're angry because they made it that far and then laid an egg in the first half. Like, why didn't you just lose on Friday?
But doesn't the emotion then when they went make it even better because you'd
yes.
given up, probably had given up, just like the Cards, game six was even better because there were times you probably just thought, well, it's over. It's not going
to
happen.
I was thinking they deserved to lose this game because they didn't play well.
The Blues will be in action tomorrow night, and Schnucks wants to remind everybody you can get that Blues hat trick at the Schnucks Deli. It's a half pound of Schnucks Deli meat, another half pound of Schnucks Deli meat, and you get that deli cheese. All of that ready to go for just $8.99. What a great deal that is. It's the Blues hat trick at Schnucks. Look for it at the deli while you're scoring the hat trick. Make sure you score some Schnucks Rewards points, too. All you have to do is download the Schnucks Reward app. Earn points and money off. It's easy. They're a proud sponsor of the Blues, Schnucks is. LGB.
Sad story. Not tragedy, but sad to just see how DGB's life has sort of unraveled. And we knew about the arrest when it happened because the details where he jumped out the window, just sort of a sad visual of a guy who was, you know, really had it all talent-wise. I think it was 8 years ago when he was the Mizzou signee. Parade player of the year, goes down to Mizzou, has all kinds of problems. Now he's going to jail for 90 days. When he did jump out the window, he was holding on to a lot of pot, and that was a violation of his probation. There's been a lot of sad stories over the years, but, boy, that's a kid who had so much talent, and now he's sitting in jail. And you think, and I'm sure there's people along the way, whether it's Gary Pinkel or others, like, man, we tried, we did what we could, left, went to Oklahoma. And then in the NFL.
Yeah, had cups of coffee with – couple of teams.
Because you just think of that kid as a target. Couple of times at Mizzou, we're like, wow.
Yeah. He's going to be a star. Against Auburn in the SEC title game where he was had five or six catches all for huge yards.
National High School Player of the Year to this. Yeah. Wow.
Vince Young, the same way. You kind of feel bad for him as well. His life has taken a huge turn with alcohol and depression, and now he got fired from his job at University of Texas over the weekend for I forgot exactly what, poor performance or what have you. So you feel bad for guys like that.
You're paying him to be Vince Young. Was he not Vince Young?
Maybe he didn't show up at events. Hey, what do I need to do? You need to be Vince Young. Yeah, you're not really living up to it. But DGB, 90 days in jail. Maybe it's a bottom for him. And
he was
maybe
not coming to work.
Maybe who, Vince Young?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Vince Young. I don't have to come to work.
Work.
Also over the weekend, Antonio Brown does not end up in Buffalo. He wins, right? He gets to play for Gruden and the Raiders. I think Pittsburgh, it was probably a bluff, right? The Buffalo thing, just to scare him a little bit. I don't know. But he wins, I think. He gets out of Pittsburgh, which it seemed like it was time. And he doesn't have to go to Buffalo, ends up with the Raiders. I think if I'm him.
More money.
And if I'm the Raiders, I'm looking at all the fan base that was giving you grief about trading Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Now you have a first-round pick, you know, and now some assets there, so. I think Gruden and the front office of the Raiders saved themselves with that trade. And they gave up neck to nothing.
I just wonder now, the Steelers, who are a great organization, they always seem to have the right players, they always get it done. But if you lose Bell and Brown, that's a lot of talent. Even if it's been disruptive in the locker room, and if players are saying, get out, both of you get out, that's a lot of talent to replace.
There were a lot of takes about Antonio Brown, too. A lot of name-calling from NFL media. Calling him childish, bad teammate.
Well, I think his teammates might agree to some of that. But it did seem like some of the national media took it personal.
Yes.
Acting as if he wasn't a franchise player to have kids look up to. And I think a comedian or something goes, yeah, that Ben Roethlisberger, real great class act.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because he operated purely out of financial reasons. He wants more money.
Yes.
And people said he was a bad person for that, bad teammate, thinking about himself. Same day the Chiefs release Justin Houston for money. They said Antonio Brown should honor his contract. Why don't the teams do that? I just thought that was interesting.
Right. It can be a one-way street with the NFL. Like, hey, you're a player, you got to live up to the deal. But if you're that player who has a deal, they can also say, you're out of here.
This is, you know, it's a business.
I do think with Antonio Brown, some of his teammates made it public that he wasn't the best teammate, didn't show up for practices, and was becoming more of a me guy. So I don't think it was just the media saying, hey, live up to your deal. There seemed to be a little more where the Steeler players were sort of sick of his antics.
And people are like, good for the Steelers. It's easier to get rid of an Antonio Brown when, you know, you have Juju Smith-Schuster,
correct,
who's a stud, you know, waiting there to be the number one guy. So it's a little bit easier to do that.
Did we announce the news that happened at the rink, apparently, Petty Maroon?
That was Chuck Marlowe announcing, yeah, right? Hockey guy.
Injured his leg, was helped off the ice.
Wow.
Chuck did not like what he saw, and I believe Jim Thomas, or maybe it's Rutherford, saying the same thing. Leg injury, helped off the ice. I guess we'll get more information later today.
Yeah, Chuck will check in the 12 o'clock hour. Blues are on the ice at the Mills / Outlet / Hazelwood / Empty Building, and they're playing tomorrow at home before they go back out on the road. Hopefully more information, although that doesn't really happen in the NHL.
Lower body injury, he'll be reevaluated.
But more information also, Tarasenko, who apparently got injured in that win over the Kings on Thursday, out for 10 days. That's sort of your minimum. I mean, I think if we say, well, he's back in 10 days. No, the team has said, they announced it on, it was really weird, on my timeline, NBC, NHL, PR, whatever, they have their own Twitter account. They sent out a tweet. And so my timeline, it pops up, and it said, a reminder, the NHL playoffs are just a month away. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. The next thing I got was the Blues Twitter account announcing Tarasenko is out, will be reevaluated in 10 days. So again, if you say, well, he's only missing four big games, but he's reevaluated in 10 days. So it's never easy to be a Blues fan. By the time the playoffs roll around, you hope you're in at this point. I mean, what are the odds now at this point? 85 or so. We used to do it when they were on the outside looking in. 20% chance, 15% chance.
Now we're worried about
seeding. Now we're like, oh, they're gonna. Could they win the division? Oh my God!
Per the odds, they're all but in. 97.4% chance of making the postseason.
Right, and I think if you're a fan, you just get in. That's fine. If you have to play Calgary, Nashville, whatever, you want to be in. After as bad as things were, you're happy that you're in. But you know, going into the playoffs, the conversation will be what we have almost every year. Okay, who's the goalie? Yeah. Well, are they both going to play? Well, you could probably go. You're going to go back and forth with your goalies. Well, you need both. We're gonna need both here. And Tarasenko, how healthy is he when he comes back? Now you got Maroon going off the ice, who hasn't been a big factor this year, but still, you want as many healthy bodies as you can have. The point is, if you're a Blues fan, it's never easy. That's a fact. All right, Saturday night, the big storm's blowing through. Right around 6 o'clock, got windy as all hell, and there was, I guess, a little lightning at that point. The big storms were earlier, then it kind of reemerged at around 6 o'clock. Where do you think I was?
6 at night, when the storms came, probably outside somewhere.
I was at the Schnucks in De Pere.
Oh, hey!
I literally said, I'm going to run up there, grab a few things, I'll be right back. Because we were going to dinner with Kim's sister, but I said, I got enough time. I can whip up there, grab a few things. I grab a cart, start to push it. The power goes out in the entire building.
Free food.
So
storm the meat counter, Martin.
It's amazing.
You see Martin gain 50 pounds of meat.
You grab that whole thing of turkey and just sprint on out.
The lights come back on, and there's me pushing my cart out the door. But it was the eeriest, spookiest thing, I would say, pitch black for maybe 5 seconds, which feels longer at that time. And everybody kind of goes, whoa. And they had music playing over by the grill area. It was very festive, lively. Place goes pitch black. And then the lights only come back partially. So everybody's just kind of staring at each other. And I'm deciding now, do I have time? Because I could run around. There was just enough light. It wasn't full power back. I could still run around and do my shopping. But am I going to be able to get out of there? So I walk over to the checkout area, and I just see all the people in line, and everybody's just kind of staring at each other because they're in limbo. There's nothing you can do. Apparently, the power had not come back on. So then I said, you know what? This is just not a good idea. So I was in a hurry. I go out, and I get into the car on Manchester Road. Right there, there's a Raising Cane's.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a fire. We start naming all the places. There's the Village Bar.
7-Eleven right there.
There's a Chick-fil-A. But there's a fire
truck. Three Kings further down.
Three Kings. We can go through the whole list.
Ooh, food.
What is it? Witch? The sandwich
place?
Oh,
right, yeah. One of the best chain sandwich places around.
We're here till 1. You're out there.
There's a Rosalita's a little further.
Just keep on going down.
Where you're at. Yeah.
But there's an ambulance, cop cars, some kind of accident had happened right there. Go over. I turn left. Now I'm at Ballast in Manchester. Big collision happened. There's police cars. There's an ambulance. It looked like a scene from a movie, like Armageddon, where lights had gone out, and now you had multiple accidents at the same time. every apocalyptic movie that we ever get, what are there? There's cop cars everywhere. There's ambulances. There's a fire burning. And the only thing I can assume that these two accidents that happened, probably a block and a half apart, were because the lights went out, the stoplights, maybe at the same time, and people were driving, and all of a sudden you just had chaos. It was honestly, it was like a scene out of a movie. And so I ran home and just said, you know what? I'm safe here.
Lock the door.
Cold Bud Light. Yes. Lock the doors.
It is sad. Like, if you lose internet in your house, like, I'm ready to move into a hotel room.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
What?
Like that, how can I live? Let's go.
You don't realize how dependent you're on everything.
Yes.
That's part of your daily routine. The stoplight works. The lights are on. There's power everywhere. But everybody kind of had that collective panic when it's pitch black. But a couple of my friends, when I told them, they said, oh, you could have just run out. Yes, I want to loot. At this age, I'm a looter. They said, you could have just walked right out. I'm like, yeah, anybody could have done that.
Oh, the beer fridge might not have worked or opened up.
Right.
Because it's an
what if you were
door.
Inside the cooler? Inside the beer cooler, power goes out.
Start drinking.
The automatic doors don't open.
Mm.
How long could you last?
Not very long. Just start drinking.
It's a weird, wild weekend. Also, the basketball scene, Illinois did not help us. They are playing. We love the Illini. They'll be playing
not
on.
Today I don't.
On Wednesday night instead of Thursday day. There was a scenario.
They couldn't even get the seed that would allow them to play at 10:30 had they won
correct.
A game.
Look,
they couldn't even do me that courtesy.
You don't hit your wagon on an Illinois win. trust me, I'm an Illinois fan.
We should have known better.
Yes.
There were a lot of scenarios that were going to play out where Illinois would be playing on Thursday right during this little sweet spot of 10-1. And we were watching it closely. Of course, we're rooting for every game to go our way, but maybe one loss here, one win here. We had this all figured out. Brian had a whole chart on this.
I did.
Of what it would take for us to get a snow day on Thursday. But that's
Friday.
Not happening. Illinois playing one of the early games of the tournament, which is actually Wednesday night. They face Northwestern. Boy, I thought the Wildcats were a better team this year. I didn't know they were going to be that bad. They ended up Northwestern's the 14 seed. So you've got Illinois playing Wednesday night. If they advance on Thursday, they'll play. I'm pointing at the phone. There's our guest. Call. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
A little bit of housekeeping.
Jesus.
The guest is calling in. We'll get to that momentarily. It's the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilquin in for Frank. He has stepped away. He is on his way to Blues practice. Chuck Marlowe will check in the coveted hour, also live from Blues practice. On the news that Chuck reported earlier, Pat Maroon taken off the ice, looked like some sort of leg injury, which will be defined later as lower body. You can count on that. Hopefully an update on Vladimir Tarasenko as well. The prep scene this week featuring seven St. Louis teams going down to Springfield for the state semifinals and a lot of first-timers, which includes the Dragons of St. Mary's who have made it to state for the first time. And joining us now is their coach, Brian Turner. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Give me an idea of the excitement. I know St. Mary's had some good teams the last couple of years. But to get this done, and last year a lot of disappointment and coming up close, I realized that. Give me an idea. You're not done yet, but the satisfaction level.
Oh, man, I mean, it's been great for our community, our school. I've been saying all year sometimes we've been a little spoiled the last couple years. But to finally kind of get the monkey off our back and reach one of our goals, I mean, it's huge. It's exciting. But like you said, we still have a couple more games to go.
So how do you express that to your kids and really even to the whole school and say, this is awesome, it's a first-time deal for us, but we're not satisfied?
Right. And I think, you know, we set goals at the beginning of the year and with our seniors. You know, they said that, you know, even if we got over the hump, I mean, it was nice to get back to the same game that we lost last year. But, again, they're trying to keep their eye on the prize and know that we can't get too happy because, if you recall, we played a game last year versus the number one team in the state, Vashon, and we kind of got a little bit beside ourselves kind of celebrating too early. So a lot of the seniors kind of remember that moment, and they want to kind of seal the deal this time around.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because incredible accomplishment for you guys last year. That's got to be hard. I think we saw it in women's basketball a few years ago in the Final Four. Remember somebody knocked off, might have been Mississippi State, knocked off UConn, and it was like unbelievable, and then they lost in the championship game. I just think that's human nature sometimes when you slay, I won't be a pun here, slay the dragon, which was Vashon at the time. I just think that's really hard, even if you coach against it. That's just sort of human nature.
Right, and you have to learn from mistakes, and that's one thing that I feel like my coaching staff, and we've done a great job this year. We're trying to keep the guys and stand in the present moment and knowing that, you know, even though you may win a big game, but you can't get too high because things like you said, like last year can easily happen. And I just feel like this team, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of pressure on us. I looked at the records of the teams that were remaining, and we have a combined total losses of everybody that was remaining. So that's a little bit too motivation for the guys, and we know that, you know, we have a lot of losses, but at the same time, our goal is still obtainable.
Well, and to be fair, Yuri Collins was out for a little bit, injured the superstar senior for Southside St. Mary's. That's when you took some of your losses. Now he's back and playing at a level. I don't know how many of us thought he was going to be that kind of scorer where he's over 30 a game. We know he's a great point guard, distributor. Give me an idea of what's happened with him from a scoring standpoint.
Well, I mean, we lost 10 guys at graduation last year, and he had to have a shoulder surgery. So we were trying to, you know, get a new group of guys, a lot of kids that were first-time varsity players, and we knew that it was going to be some ups and downs all year. But it was about picking the right team and having guys that were mentally tough to kind of go through some of the heartaches early and kind of fight through some adversity. And it came to a point in time with our team, and we even had conversations with Yuri if maybe we may shut him down for the year if it came to a point where, you know, we were going to try to build for next year. But he's a competitor. He wanted to play, and you know, he basically was just like, you know, he felt like once he came back that, you know, he can fit in with that group. And he stayed true to everything as far as working hard in the gym, staying late. And guys had developed a particular role on the team early. And like you said, we had some tough losses early, but they were getting that experience in. So when he came back, it was just more of just getting a feel for him, what he could do. And he's the type of kid that can take over a game without scoring. And he's able to play within the team, and now we need him to score a lot of points. So he's doing that for us. And the stat that that's real kind of striking is he's been grabbing a lot of rebounds lately. He had the first triple-double in school history, and I think as of late he's just been kind of doing everything that he can to have us come out victorious.
Brian Turner, head coach, St. Mary's basketball. They're going to play Ladue. That's a Class 4 state semifinal coming up on Friday, and that's a team that's been on a great run. Give us a little preview of that matchup.
Yeah, another team that's just the first time in school history going to state, and I followed them all year. They again, a team that's been going through some adversity as of late. They have a great player, Jalen Boyd. He's a tough junior, a tough guard, and we've been watching them. They have some size, so you know we have to just come up with a nice game plan in order to kind of isolate and maintain some of the things they want to do. But again, it's a toss up game. Both teams are clicking at the right time of the year. I think Ladue had an amazing victory, I think, in their quarterfinals or semis versus a tough Jennings team, to where they came back from four down with 7 seconds to go. So they have a lot of luck on their side, and right now they're clicking at the right time. So we just have to continue to do things that have worked for us all year with our defense and kind of making layups and free throws to see if we can possibly win that game.
Your school president, Mike England, has been building up the school and getting more engagement there, Southside sort of branding it that way. How much does it help your school to have a run like this? And maybe even if you happen to win a state title, what does that do for kind of recognition for what you guys are doing overall?
Oh, I mean, kudos to Mr. England for you know, and our athletic director, Anthony Dottoli, from just having a vision of where we wanted to be with this program within the last 4 or 5 years. Like I said, we've been lucky enough to hit a stride with having good basketball players as of late. And with a high school team, you have turnover year after year. But it's been good to have this team with this group of guys kind of be victorious and hitting strides at the right time, and everybody's excited, you know. And that's a big thing that the younger class and the up actually see that, you know, we have a basketball tradition that we're trying to hold to and have a standard for winning championships there at the school. So if you're a middle school kid that wants to go out and you're living in the city, you can look to St. St. Mary's as a school that has tradition in soccer and baseball and football and in basketball also.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you hopping on. We love all the programs, so we can't say, you know, go beat Ladue. Rooting for all the best for all of our local teams. We've got seven total boys and girls are going to be taking part in Class 4, Class 5 state semifinals down in Springfield. Those games on Friday, championship games being played on Saturday. And we're all looking forward to seeing Uri next year at the next level playing for the Billikens. Coach, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right, Coach Turner checking in with us from St. Mary's. You have first-timers, Parkway Central girls, St. Mary's boys, Ladue boys, I believe Francis Howell, with Frank's buddy Kurt Jacob, first time getting down to state. And then you have like Incarnate Word girls. Like, is that your 40th time?
Yeah.
Is it Vashon Wednesday? Like, how many of those? And I know Frank talked to Tony Irons last hour, did the TKO on Tony last night, because think about what it's like following, and he didn't directly follow his dad. But when you go to the same school and do the same job that your dad did at a legendary level, that's not easy, because if you don't win, everybody's like, well, what are you doing? Your dad won all these titles. What are you doing? And Floyd, who's a friend of the show, might even be listening, can be a little boisterous, can stir it up a little bit. Floyd's never been afraid of a little controversy. Tony, totally different, very low-key. So he's definitely his own guy, a different guy, and has now won three of the last 4 years at Vashon. Sure, they've got great talent, but you still got to find a way to finish the deal. Last year, they got knocked off by St. Mary's along the way. And also on the ill side, Belleville West boys with E.J. Liddell, Chuck's guy, going to Ohio State. And East St. Louis with Terrence Hargrove, future Billiken. Those two teams are playing in the state quarterfinals on Tuesday. I'm turning into Jumping Jimmy Powers here with your prep. That prep report was brought to you by Hot Shots. Let's just say that, Brian.
Martin Budweiser wants to send you to opening day to see the Cardinals take on the Padres. All throughout March, go to any of the 11 area Hot Shots sports bar and grill locations and enter to win tickets to opening day courtesy of Budweiser. Winners will be drawn and announced on March 29th. While you're at Hot Shots, grab some great deals on Bud Family Pints every Tuesday night or Bud Family Pitchers every Saturday night. Nothing goes with Cardinals baseball like an ice-cold Budweiser at Hot Shots.
I forgot about San Diego as the opener. You got Manny Machado. Manny Machado in the house for opening day. The season begins in Milwaukee. That is 2 weeks from Thursday.
How cool is that?
Cards and Brewers. The closer has not been announced, correct?
No.
It's kind of Hicks.
You probably won't find out till maybe that day if they're up by three or fewer runs in the ninth inning.
I don't think they're going to say. I think they're just going to utilize all these guys.
I think they're going to play almost game by game by ear, to say based
correct.
On who fits what situation best.
And we did hear the commissioner, Rick Hummel, earlier today talking about that fifth and final rotation spot. And basically now, you know you have Flaherty. You know you have Michaelis, Wainwright, and Waka. Fifth guy, he said it's basically between Gant and Hudson. And John Gant's the guy we always overlook. But I think if you say those names, I'd say, well, it'd kind of be fun to get Hudson in there.
Yeah.
Have another young arm. But again, there's a few things left to be sorted out. Cards have a couple of more weeks till the season begins. We'll do the coveted hour next, Midday Grind on 590 The Fan. Charlie Marlowe, fresh off a Bradley University.
Is his voice going to be hoarse?
Don't understand if he was there as a fan. I mean, I know he's a fan, but or if he just went with his media credential and just sat there and didn't hoot and holler, or if he went and had some beers and was a big old fan.
He had gone there as a media member and still had a few beers.
Ate some on kids' gummy bears and sow then.
It's been known to happen. We'll check in with Chuck. A lot of hot takes still to come next hour on Coveted Hour Midday Grind.